Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a fantastic thing that we don't have to do this alone. I just think it's fantastic that actually God says, I want to upgrade you, but I'm not going to send you out there to find this skill or to work up this skill, but I'm actually going to enable you to fully do what I've called you to do, to hit that mark. And his gift to us was the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we know that scripture from the day of Pentecost. But here's the deal. Amazingly, Jesus had prepared the disciples to receive the Holy Spirit before he sent the Holy Spirit. And he prepared them by introducing them and making them aware of who this Holy Spirit was who was going to come and fill them and equip them. And I just very briefly want to remind us of the incredible person of the Holy Spirit, particularly in relation to our prayer lives, because I believe what God wants to do is to give us a Holy Spirit inspired and empowered life of prayer. Before Jesus went to be with the Father, he said this, John 14:16-17, and I will ask my Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Let's pause there for a moment. Jesus said, I'm going to give you another helper. Who was the first helper? Jesus himself. He was the Word, communication language, made flesh to come and live life with us. And as Jesus is departing, he says, I know that you don't do life well alone. And I don't want you to live life alone. I want to give you somebody who's literally that word helper is the Greek word parakletos. And it's literally that word that means the one who is called, kletos, to come alongside you, to live in parallel with you. Literally, Jesus said, there's someone whose whole life mandate is to do life with you here on earth. I am sending you one called to come alongside you. And he's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because the world neither knows him nor sees him. But you know him. Question, do you know him today? Have you sensed him even this morning as we've been speaking and worshiping together? Have you sensed him near again? Do you know him? Because if you do, you are perfectly positioned to have another encounter with the one called to come alongside you. Because you begin to recognize him. It's like, oh, it's exactly what Rachel said. That's the scent of water. That's the Holy Spirit. The one called to do life with me. For you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. We may be familiar with that, but as we give our lives to Jesus, he says, you yourselves, Romans 12, become the temple in which I am pleased to dwell. Your very body is the place where I will position and put my Spirit within. The Holy Spirit comes to live within us. But that's not the end of the story. And I feel like with this whole communication language that God is wanting to say to us, I don't want you just to be forgiven sinners saved by grace with the Holy Spirit now living inside of you. I want you to understand what that privilege actually means. And he takes us to Romans 8, verse 16, and I haven't put this in my slides, but I just felt it again this morning as Rachel's been speaking. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive doesn't make you slaves to fear again, but rather he you given a Spirit by whom you cry, Abba! Father, and the very first thing we do when we receive that Holy Spirit is we communicate. Abba, Daddy God. And he opens that well of communication for you. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And now if we're children, then we're also heirs. So what is our communication like when we have a Spirit-empowered prayer life? It's not a, I'm just about a sinner saved by grace, thank you, Jesus. I live in Oxford and I'm ordained in the Church of England. And one of the prayers I hate most in the Church of England that we pray, if I'm allowed to say that, it's not being recorded and sent home, is it? But it's, forgive us, O God, we are miserable offenders. And we confess all this stuff over ourselves. Woe is me, miserable offender. That's what I was. But now I'm saved. Now I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And if I keep confessing that I'm a miserable offender, then I'm denying who God has now made me to be, which is an heir of God and a co-heir with Christ, seated in the heavenly places. So when I come to pray, Abba, Father, by the Spirit of God inside of me, surely the sound of my communication, my prayer language needs to change. And I believe one of the primary things God wants to do today is to give us a new assurance in the place of communication. You see, we live in a world that has lost confidence in communication. We use text language. We tweet. And we say some stuff online we wouldn't dare say to each other's faces, I hope. But that doesn't make it right online either. But we've lost the confidence of communication. And what the Holy Spirit does is he says, I'm not just going to send you instructions from on high. Now go do this or go say this or go speak here. He says, I'm going to do life with you. I am the one called to do life with you, to come alongside you. And so your communication is going to change. That verse that Rachel chose, Acts 2, verse 4, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke in other language as the Spirit gave them this ability. That word ability is a Greek word which literally means utterance. Literally, when the Holy Spirit came, he began to help them communicate. And that utterance is to speak out, to speak forth, to pronounce, to decree, to declare with great authority, to use a speech belonging to dignified and elevated conversation. It's literally the type of communication you would use in the presence of royalty. The picture I had in my mind as I was preparing was the conversation going on between President Trump and King Charles. That's, I hope, was elevated discourse. And that's the picture the Bible uses. The Holy Spirit is giving you a language and a communication you don't use in the everyday, because you're now an heir of the kingdom and you speak a different language and you communicate with an authority of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you carry the royal mandate to change an atmosphere. And that happens by the power of the Holy Spirit giving you ability. Here's the neat thing. What the Holy Spirit did on the day of Pentecost was to reverse the curse of the confusion and deception of previous communication. The day of Pentecost was literally a reversal of the curse of the Tower of Babel. Do you remember? When man thought they could do it alone, God said, okay, you try it. And communication was lost. And they spoke languages they didn't understand. In other words, they did this all the time. They miscommunicated. And I believe the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the reason God is emphasizing the Holy Spirit in our day and age today, is because we are back to almost the Tower of Babel days, when communication is divisive, when speech is threatened and risky, when we're trying to cancel each other because of what we say. And God says, let me give you a helper to come alongside you to do it better. And I want to upgrade your communication ability. So three quick points. Here are the ABCs of a Spirit-empowered prayer life. The first thing God does is to give us assurance in the place of our communication. Assurance. I believe God wants us so able, equipped to communicate in prayer that we no longer hesitate in that place of communication any longer. Romans 8:26 says this, and this is from the Amplified Version. In the same way, the Spirit comes to us and he helps us in our weakness. For we don't know how to pray. And to offer, or how to offer those prayers that we should. But the Spirit himself knows our need and at the right time intercedes on our behalf with sighs and groaning too deep for words. I love that picture because it basically means that the Holy Spirit wants to come alongside us to be a prayer partner in the place of prayer. And I wonder whether you've had that joy of finding prayer easier when you've joined with someone else to pray. And you might have a human prayer partner, but I wonder how many of us might change our concept a little and get excited about prayer when we think Holy Spirit could also be our prayer partner. Get alongside him and let him teach you to pray. Jude 1 verse 20 says, "But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love." Praying in the Holy Spirit. This little phrase comes up a lot in the New Testament. Ephesians 6 verse 18, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests." I believe this will take some practice, but it's something that God enables us to do. And the way in which he does is, as that verse from Acts said, through using a different prayer language. And for some of us, we're really familiar, perhaps, with the gift of tongues. But for those of us who are not, or maybe we've shied away from it a little bit, what is that gift of tongues that the Spirit gives to enable us? It's literally a gift given by the Spirit of God to help us communicate spirit to spirit. And I believe we're in a day when we need to rebuild our inner core, as it were, of that spirit man and build ourselves up internally. Rachel often uses this little picture, which I love, which is that the gift of tongues is like a vitamin tonic, which we take to strengthen ourselves spirit to spirit from within. And I believe in that place of prayer, God is wanting to join together our natural burdens and longings and desires with his spiritual burdens and longings and desires, and help us to communicate spirit to spirit, not just human soul to Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? And in the place of prayer, he enables us to do that through the gift of tongues. Paul describes this gift in 1 Corinthians 14. This is the Amplified Version. Again, it says this, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unproductive because it doesn't understand what my spirit is praying. Then what am I to do? I will pray with the Spirit by the Holy Spirit within me, and I will pray with my mind using words that I understand. I will sing with the Spirit by the Holy Spirit who's within me, and I will sing with my mind using words I understand." This picture is beautiful because it says it's not either or, it's both and. And I believe what God wants to do is to make us equally confident in the spiritual things as we are in the natural things. And so I want to ask you this morning, how far have you stretched into the spiritual realm? How far have you stretched yourself to pray spirit to spirit with God? How much do you restrict yourself to just praying from the human side? You see, if we pray spirit to spirit, it's exactly what Rachel said earlier, we begin to pray things that weren't even on our agenda or radar. But we also pray with a different level of authority. I was reminded of this story when I was preparing and praying this morning, and I want to share it because I wonder if this is something somebody here is also facing. But I was chatting with a friend who'd been through a very difficult bereavement. And she's not a believer, but somehow she became very angry with God. You know those moments when you don't even want God in your world, but actually it's God's fault when it all goes wrong. And it's like she was full of rage. And I sensed in my spirit this wasn't just human anger. This was like a spirit of rage had overtaken her. And she was facing this, I was trying to have a conversation, but there was no way I was getting through to the person at all. And she was so full of rage. So all I knew how to do, and I obviously was crying out inside, "God, help me. God, help her. God, I need help here." And that was my human language. And I felt God say, "Begin to pray in tongues." So I began to use my spiritual prayer language. Tongues is literally that gift given to us to have a prayer language that's our heavenly prayer language. And I didn't do it out loud, or I just literally did it under my breath so that she couldn't even see it. And I began to pray in tongues. And then my tongue began to change, and I began to take authority over every spirit that wasn't of the Holy Spirit that was beginning to speak. And I said, "God, I need to get through to my friend." And right in the middle of her raging, she suddenly stopped. And she looked straight at me and she said, "Are you praying?" And I was like, "Oh my goodness, what do I say now?" And I actually said, "Yes, I am. I'm praying for you." At which point, that spirit of rage just disappeared and she disintegrated into tears. And she began to sob and sob and sob. And finally, I got through to the person. And we were able to have a conversation and, you know, get through some of the grief and the loss and actually begin a journey. That is upgrading our natural ability with the help of the Holy Spirit coming alongside, exactly what Rachel's been talking about today, to give us an authority in our communication space. But that was a place where I wasn't to communicate to a person, but I was to communicate to the spiritual realm. And to communicate to heaven and call on the empowering of the Holy Spirit to actually cut through. I wonder if some of you are facing situations. Maybe it's not in friendship or family circles, but maybe it's in the workplace. Maybe it's in the community space and you think something needs to shift here. And God wants to give you a new assurance by the Holy Spirit today that when you speak, you have incredible authority to shift atmospheres. Amen? Romans 8, 27 to 28 in the Passion Translation says this: God, the searcher of the heart, knows fully our longings, yet he also understands the desires of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us, his holy ones, in perfect harmony with God's plan and destiny. How beautiful is that picture, that we are in perfect harmony when we live life with the Holy Spirit. Rachel uses this wonderful picture, and you'll hear me quote Rachel a lot because she's such an inspiration to me. 20 years rubs off on you. So all my best illustrations are usually hers. But she uses this beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit in terms of the prayer language space as both our adapter and our transformer. And I love that picture. So when I travel and I come to the US, my 3-pin plugs from the UK do not work in your plug sockets. So I need an adapter that will help use the power supply and get me plugged into the power supply here in the US. UK power supply doesn't work right here. So I need that adapter. Holy Spirit is the same. He takes our language and adapts it because he knows both the heart of the Father and the heart of you and me. And he gives us the assurance that our communication is going to hit the mark as he adapts our language, adapts our desires, adapts and draws alongside us. But then sometimes there's a power deficit. So here in the US, I believe you have like 110 volts, is that right? We have 20, 30, 40 volts in across UK and Europe. So there's a power deficit. And actually, if with that power deficit, we can feel that we don't know how to pray because we're weak. But the power supply of heaven is so great and there is a gap. But God says the Holy Spirit is the one who will help transform your weakness into a place of his power and his strength. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful picture. So I believe God wants to give us assurance in our literal ability to communicate spirit to spirit. That's about our fluency. That's about our authority. But here's the other aspect of assurance that I believe God wants to give us. He also wants to give us assurance that in that place of communication, what we begin to hear from God, as Rachel said, when we pray, we should expect to get revelation. And in an age of so much AI, virtual reality, deep fakes, fake news, all the rest of it, it's like one of the questions is, how do I know what I'm hearing is actually truth? And I love the fact that Jesus deals with that straight off, and he lived way before deep fakes in the way we know them. And he said, you know what I'm sending you, Holy Spirit, not only your helper, but he's the Spirit of truth. And that's truth with a capital T. That's not any truth. That's not your truth relative to my truth, as our world would say. Our world says, you know, you make up your truth. It's fine. If it works for you, great. Bible says, there is one truth, and his name is the Spirit of Truth. And he will lead you into all truth. I love that. But what does that word truth mean? So Rachel is a scientist by background. I and Gordon are linguists by background. So we love language and word study. And this is what lights my fire. It's like, yes, give me a word and tell me what it means. So that word truth, Spirit of Truth, what does it mean? It's a Greek word, aletheia. And literally the a bit is the opposite of. So it's like when we say the un-something, we're saying it's the opposite of something else. So what is that word aletheia? Aletheia means what is dark, hidden, obscure, unknowable, and unsearchable, really. So the aletheia means the Spirit of Truth is everything that that is not. He is knowable. He is the one who is a revealer. He is the one who makes things that are otherwise obscure become evident to you so that you can understand them. I love that. And it's like God is emphasizing. He's not just saying he's the Spirit of Truth. He's saying he's the Spirit of Truth that comes literally in the opposite spirit of everything that is hidden, obscure, unknowable, unsearchable. And he says, I want to make it plain, clear, and obvious to you. Because he wants us on the inside, not on the outside looking in. He never wants you to feel like you have to work hard to try and, you know, get into that place where God will share revelation with you. Do you know you are his sheep and you are made to hear his voice? I am his loved daughter. He loves to speak with me. He's not playing hard to get. He's not making it difficult for me. He's literally giving me the gift of a Holy Spirit who loves to share with us. I love that. That word aletheia, so the opposite of aletheia, is literally the word occult. The dark, the hidden, the obscure. So the Spirit of Truth is the opposite of the occult. He is the Spirit of light and life and revelation. And then the second part of that, as Rachel's just said, is that he is the revealer of truth. So we don't serve a God who delights in concealing things from us. We serve a God who delights in revealing things to us. And that's not because we're super spiritual, or it's not because, you know, it's the prophet who's come in, or it's the prayer warrior who's here in the room. No, it's because we're his kids and he gives you that Spirit of Truth. I believe those are the aspects of assurance that Holy Spirit wants to give us today. He's a revealer of truth. Can I give you one more neat thing about that word, Spirit of Truth? The other aspect of that word, Spirit of Truth, is literally the one who brings back into the light things that have fallen into obscurity. Obscure is literally that dark place. And he, in other words, when he comes, the Spirit of Truth, he reminds you of things that God wants to be the assurance, the foundation, the rock on which you build. And as I was preparing this, I felt God say, what you and your president have decided to do to rededicate your nation to God 250 years on, by marking it in prayer, is absolutely critical. Because as you do that, that place of prayer we've been talking about all day is the place where the Holy Spirit delights to partner with a nation, with a people, with a community. And if the Spirit of Truth is inspiring that prayer and empowering that prayer, his literal job description as the Spirit of Truth is to remind you again of things that have fallen into obscurity, which is your foundations. And he says, come on, what are you built on, America? As you pray, I remind you again in God you trust. I remind you again of your founding fathers. I remind you again of that Spirit of awakening. I remind you and I recall it into memory for all to see. Profoundly prophetic to mark the anniversary of a nation with prayer. Rachel, Come. If you get revelation, jump in, because honestly, this is what it's about this morning.
But I also felt the weight of reminding you of your DNA right here in Lewiston. Why are you here? Why did God ask you to build him a house? Build me a house of prayer, but build me a house. What is your DNA? What are the gifts you steward? What do you bring? What has fallen into obscurity? What have you deleted and thought, past my sell-by date, can't do that? His spirit is eternal. And you might be looking at things and think, well, I can't see how I can do that now. It's not for you to figure it. It's for God to activate it. And I really do believe that he is a revealer. He is a spirit of truth. In him, there is no lies. He never deceives. He never sets you up to bring you down and say, ha, you idiot, you believe that? That mocking spirit, in Jesus' name, we break its power. Because he is the spirit of truth. So everything conceived in you in that Holy Spirit place, the dreamer, don't let the enemy mock it. Wake it up in my heart, Lord. Wake it up in my heart, Lord. Father, we thank you for your spirit of truth that comes. And we decree today that everything you said to us is yes and amen. You are not a liar. Come on, how many scriptures? He cannot lie. He is not the... We know the father of lies and the accuser of all. And so, Father, right now, I want you to... Father, I want to be a believer. I believe that everything you've called me to do, I can do. Everything you've said I should be, I can be. Every purpose you put in my hands, I will steward for God in these days. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, breathe on us. Breathe on us. Holy Spirit, breathe. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Breathe. Awaken what we thought was going to die, what we maybe even believed is dying. We break every lie in Jesus' name. And we declare you are a spirit of truth and there is no darkness in you.
Help us to trust God. Love it. Oh, thank you more, Father. Why don't you just continue to welcome Holy Spirit. He's been present all morning already, but I just feel like he's wanting to alight on us, rest upon us, deepen our understanding, deepen our love, deepen that revelation. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh, God. Fill us afresh. And Father, we pray you'd give us such confidence in that place of communication with you, such assurance by the power of the Holy Spirit that we would not doubt, but we would be believers. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, assure us afresh. And you know, part of that assurance is the ability to discern truth from falsehood. And that gift of discernment, I believe, is obviously, perhaps we know in 1 Corinthians 12, the list of charismatic gifts, 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, and then miracles, healing, and faith, 9 gifts. Several of those have to do with communication. Tongues, interpretation, prophetic. And Rachel's already talked about listening to the voice of God so that we can then speak right. But I believe that gift of discernment is also one that God wants us to hunger after in these days. Because we live in an age of great confusion. We live in an age where stuff can be presented as true. But actually, we don't need to fear being duped or deceived. We don't need to go into that place of fear. We actually need to come to that place of deep assurance. Now, Holy Spirit's with me, and he is the Spirit of truth, but actually one of his gifts to me, and the Bible says, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. And I wonder whether in this season, one of those that we need to upgrade is that gift of discernment. So that we actually don't need to fear looking foolish or sounding foolish or giving in to something. You know, there's loads of scammers out there and they will take anything and pervert it. But actually, God has given us that gift of a radar that is able to discern truth from lies. And that gift of discernment is not just discerning truth and lies, but it's also discerning a spiritual atmosphere so that we can recognize when something is evil. We recognize the demonic, the evil, like I recognize that spirit of anger that was there in my friend. But we can also recognize the angelic. And I've found myself praying more and more and more recently, Holy Spirit, make me aware of what you're doing. But also open my eyes, sharpen my discernment to see the activity of heaven amongst us. And I've literally, the Bible says we have ministering angels sent to assist us. So there's other helpers that the spirit realm has, which is the angelic. And I don't want to be one who's chasing demons. No, no, no. If I need to be aware of something, Holy Spirit will show me. But I don't need to be mesmerized by that. But oh, I want to be awakened to the presence of the angelic. I want to be aware of what something is in the room. And call in the assistance when I need that. And so I want to make you perhaps aware of that gift. So assurance is the A. B, and I'll be much quicker on these. B, I believe God wants to give us through the Holy Spirit a new boldness. So what does boldness in the place of prayer look like? We're talking about a spirit-empowered prayer life, what does that be of boldness look like? I believe it looks like the partnership of prayer with the gift of faith in this season. That's one aspect that I feel God really wants to highlight for us. Because we can pray prayers that are limited by what we can see as possible in the natural. How many of you know when you begin to see as heaven sees, impossibility becomes possible because of him? And I believe God wants to shift some stuff, and he wants to say to you, you know, I want to partner with you in the place of prayer, but I don't want you praying prayers of your limitations. I want you to pray from my perspective. And I give you that gift of faith by the Holy Spirit to believe for more than you could ever believe in the natural. So what is the gift of faith in the Holy Spirit? This word faith is the Greek word pistis, but it's interesting because it's multi-layered. And this faith that the Bible talks about as a gift of the Holy Spirit is not faith, I believe in God, like the creed, I believe in God. That's a type of pistis faith. And this faith is not salvation faith, that I've confessed my sin, I've welcomed Jesus, I believe in Jesus as my Savior faith. That's not it either. And it's not the faith which is faithfulness to God. It's a fourth type of faith. And it's a unique gift which is given for you to literally believe the impossible can become possible because of him. Does that make sense? And so it's a supernatural ability beyond my natural ability. And it only works, really, when it partners with the Holy Spirit. And so I believe God wants to teach us to pray prayers of the impossible. Prayers that break down walls. Prayers that take down impossibility and begin to speak faith. I believe words have incredible power. And God says to us, choose life. Don't choose death. Your words, the power of the tongue is really, really powerful. So what we confess, what we speak, what we begin to declare has incredible power. And I'm asking, Holy Spirit, would you help upgrade my prayer language so that I can pray beyond my natural into the spiritual, but take down every limitation and begin to align with what heaven is saying. Does that make sense? So the boldness comes upon us to begin to break through. And I believe that through that, we do begin to see miracles happen because that faith partners with other gifts. If you're going to use any of the other gifts, you're going to need faith. It takes faith to step out. It takes faith to begin to stretch. It takes faith to see a limb grow. That's a gift of healing miracle. But actually, we don't limit miracles to that. The Holy Spirit wants to upgrade our ability to see other miracles for financial provision, miraculous financial provision. He wants you to see things that, you know, astound the wisdom of the wise, but begin to be a sign in a community. God's in the house. God's at work, and not just in the house. He's not contained. He's out there in the community. And to reverse the curse of our generation, there is that mocking sound of, where's your God? And I believe there's those face-off moments, not with people, but with the enemy, that we come to that place of tenacious, Holy Spirit-empowered prayer life, that stand in that gap and with faith begin to declare, in God we trust. There's a difference in our sound of prayer when we activate faith between just declaring what is true and decreeing what is not into being. Difference between declaration and decree. Declaration literally states the truth of what is. I am a child of God. I am no longer a slave to fear. This nation was created by Jesus. Lord, Jesus is Lord over the nations. That's a declaration of truth. But a decree is different. Literally, that word decree is the Holy Spirit-inspired ability to see what is in heaven but is not yet on earth and begin to call it into being on earth. It's what we pray when we pray the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done as it is in heaven, now let it be on earth. That's standing in that gap. Does that make sense? So we begin to pray with Holy Spirit-inspired and empowered language that connects us to fresh faith, that helps us overcome natural impossibilities. And I believe that is the royal authority that God wants to equip us with. So A is for assurance, B is for boldness, and C is for commission. And I heard that as the co-mission. In other words, the partnership with God. And I believe it's the partnership literally in beginning to speak to things that have died. That's where I felt with this, almost provoked by this great awakening. When we landed in the United States, Rachel had such a sense and really asked us to carry this word of resurrection life. And life is not, that resurrection life is not limited to Easter Sunday. We are to be resurrection people 365 days of the year. And the only way in which we do that is by the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, who now lives in you and me and enables us to become like him who calls dead things back to life. And so God wants us to be in the same partnership with the Holy Spirit and to begin to co-work with him, to call the dead places and spaces back to a place of life. So how much of our prayer language is that creative place? Maybe C is also for creativity, because I really believe that the Holy Spirit wants to come upon his church afresh, and I felt it for you as a community to really release creativity afresh. Creativity in the worship space, creativity in the place of the arts and stuff, but also creative thinking, entrepreneurial gift. And he wants to come upon you to make that prayer place Holy Spirit empowered, to be almost like an incubation space or a place which is like a womb from which creativity begins to be birthed. Amen. I just feel we should take some time to pray, because I feel there's such incredible opportunity. It's almost like the atmosphere is crackling with potential, pregnant with something. And I feel it for you in this building, but I feel it for your communities. We had some time yesterday when we arrived, just literally just driving a little bit and just feeling the hunger of the community. There is such Holy Spirit potential right now. And I believe God wants to come upon us afresh by the power of the Holy Spirit, as he did on the day of Pentecost, to give us fresh boldness and then to co-labor with him.